Well, I'm going to give a two parts to a series, and it's not actually all of the series either. I will end up with another one or two. But it's a sermon entitled, as I mentioned in the announcements, entitled The Blessings and Sins of the Fathers. And by fathers, we're not talking about just fathers, we're talking about parents. But the principle, and you've heard the phrase, the sins of the fathers. But every one of you in here has parents, or had parents, whatever the case might be. And whatever age you are, you have taken on some positive characteristics of your parents, or maybe characteristics that maybe you'd rather not have inherited. It ends up with both in a family situation. And whatever your situation, it may be if you were raised in a foster home, it may be those that you were closest to and that raised you. But we've all got parents, we've all got upbringings and situations, and whoever we are, we have had both blessings and curses passed down from our parents. There's a basic principle regarding that. In the Ten Commandments, it gives us the basic, the most basic rules for mankind. We realize that in the law books, you know, Julie could show us reams and reams of law books and the rules that are out there that regulate mankind and how governments function. But God gave 10 basic rules. But it's interesting that within those 10 brief basic rules are basically two mentions of that which is passed on from the parents to the children. And so it's an important concept that we understand and realize. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, you know, when two commandments really refer to the blessings or the curses that are passed down to children, something that I think we ought to take note of. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. The New Living Translation, it says, "You must not make for yourself an idol or any kind of image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea." Verse 5, it says, "You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods." And so it says if you're a parent who puts God first, and his ways first, instead of the idols that are out there of anything that we put before God, there will be effects on your children, whether we put other things before God or whether we put God first. Because it goes on to say in the last part of verse 5, he says, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children." And this is a New Living Translation. I think it has it right here. It says, the entire family is affected. And so our children are affected by what we do. We are affected by what our parents do or our parents have done, for the good or for the bad, and a combination of them. And it goes on to say, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. So it says that if we don't follow God's way, if we're not a right example as a parent in whatever way, it will have an effect on the children. So we're told the sins of the parents have an effect on their children, and I'll ask you, what effect have your parents' sins had upon you? And I'll ask, what effect have your sins had on your children or the things that we're not doing that are quite right? Now, on the other hand, we also receive blessings from our parents or our grandparents in the good that they do. And God really wants us to focus on both of these in a positive manner, and we'll see that as we go through. What blessings have your parents passed on to you as a result of keeping godly laws and godly principles, morals, values, and so forth? And we'll get more into this, and we'll be doing a lot of thinking about that as we go on. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. Exodus 20 verse 6 says that if you as a parent put something before God, it will have a bad effect on your children. But then it says, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. And so what we do has an effect on our children, our grandchildren, and on down the line. And even you could say right now that you and I are receiving benefits and blessings from Abraham, our father, to 1,000 generations. And we see many promises that God gave to Abraham of blessings of the nations and those that he would be working with. And so we receive benefits for thousands of generations, actually. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 gives another principle that I think gives reference to the same thing. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so through obedience to the commandments and through, frankly, in having honorable parents particularly, there is benefit and blessing that comes from parents doing things right and we following those good things that the parents do. We'll talk later about parents that are not quite so honorable and how God expects us to work with that. And in an audience, God calls people from all sorts of different backgrounds and situations. And some of you come from the most wonderful parents, and you're going to have a hard time figuring out anything that would be a problem. Others of you are going to have a hard time thinking of something good because possibly had an abusive parent or one that abandoned you in all sorts of situations that we come from. And so we have to look at the overview and see what God would have us to understand from this principle of the blessings and sins of the fathers and the mothers. Now, God elsewhere sums this up in Exodus chapter 34. There are a number of places in the Bible that actually specifically mention this principle. Exodus 34 and verse 6 is another place. The New Living Translation in Exodus 34 verse 6 says, the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out. And this is what God says. He said, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. So as we go through this, the principles in this sermon, and we find there are things that we have to deal with and things that we have to work at and overcome as a result of some of our upbringing and whatever that might be, realize that God looks at you with love, mercy, compassion, and he wants the very best for you. And he wants us to take the best from those who raised us and avoid the worst from those who raised us. And it goes on to say, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so when it talks about the sins of the parents being visited to the children, forgiveness and God's love comes into play in this process. It says, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. I want to read Exodus 34, verse 6 in the New Living Translation. Exodus 34, verse 6 again, Lord calling out, the Lord God of compassion and mercy, I'm slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. This is God's mind toward us and towards others who repent. He said, but I don't excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents on their children and the grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generations. What blessings or curses have affected you as a result of your upbringing and how you were raised. And why is it important to know? Why is it important to evaluate the situation? Again, I'll say up front, the purpose is not for us to be examining and condemning and putting our parents down by any means whatsoever, but it's about us examining our situation and where do we stand with God. What does it mean the sins or blessings of a family can be passed down from generation to generation? What does he mean by that? Are there others who have affected you and why you are like you are or why you behave like you do, for better or for worse? And if so, where does that come from? And if we do have bad things that have affected us as a result of those who raised us, what can we do about it? And what would God, how did God have us to view that? So again, this sermon is going to be a mini-series. In this first part, I want to identify three main areas the Bible's talking about when it discusses passing on the blessings and cursings to the children, to the third and fourth generations. Three primary areas of blessings passed down to us or curses. And then I want you to consider the effect that it has on your personal life, your family life, and the lives of our children, if we still have children around. And the purpose of this series is to help direct you personally towards God's laws, towards God's love, towards God's principles in our everyday lives, and ultimately an abundant life, and of course the abundant life in the kingdom of God that is to come. So that's the purpose of this. First of all, let's discuss the sins of mankind. We receive curses as a result of the sins of what I call the sins of mankind in general, or humankind, you might say. Romans chapter 5, the Bible talks about sins that are passed down from the father to the children to thousands of generations or hundreds of generations. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. So the first of these three areas, the sins of mankind. Romans 5, verse 12, the English Standard Version, says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Adam and Eve sinned. And so we have parents that did something that was putting something ahead of God. They didn't obey God. They didn't follow him. They decided they wanted to make their own way. And as a result, sin entered the world, and you have been affected by your parents, Adam and Eve, sin. We all have the same parent in that respect. Verse 14, it says, "Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." We don't all do the same sins, but we sin. Verse 17, of chapter 5, it says, "Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man." Chapter 5, verse 18, "Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men." So here's part of that principle where the parents caused bad things to happen to their children. It was passed on. So we have human nature in us, passed on to us by Father Abraham, and or Father Adam, rather, and Mother Eve. Now, could any of us say that if you had been in the garden and you had been the one responsible for complete obedience to God, that you would have made a better choice? Now, we all like to think we would, but if we hadn't have done the same sin, would we have gone our way as opposed to God's way at some point in your stint in that garden? Well, yeah, that's the human nature that we have that causes us to be against God. You know, if we think that we would have done better, we might want to think again. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1 and verse 8, we'll turn to that this time. I'm going to refer to it a number of other times in this series here. 1 John 1 and verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if we say, well, I wouldn't have sinned like Adam and Eve, yeah, you would have. And is there anybody in here who has not sinned? Well, no. We all have to admit that we've sinned. If we don't, we're not thinking properly. Now, verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the sins, the proclivity of the fathers to sin, has been passed down from generation to generation unto us today. So that's the bad news. That's the sins of the fathers being passed down, and we picking up on that proclivity of humankind to sin. So what's the good news? What are the benefits? What are the blessings that come from the parents to the children? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the blessings are explained in the same scriptures here. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. God the Father. Okay, so now we have a Father that when we come under him and we follow his way, it brings blessings. We follow our father Adam, and that brings the curses when we follow their rebellion against God. Now we've got God the Father who gives love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 15, and here are the actions and blessings of a loving Father. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And so we have blessings passed on to us from our Father God. And Jesus is even referred to as our Father, our spiritual Father, from the perspective in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so he is a spiritual Father to us. Paul even calls himself a spiritual father to Timothy. In fact, the church at the time, he said, you have not many fathers. But here's God the Father who passes on blessings, grace, mercy, proper example, a right example to follow, and the ability to follow that through his Spirit. It says, verse 18 of Romans 5, therefore, as through one man's offense, Adam's, came judgment to all men, resulting in condemnation, so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And so we have the opportunity to receive the blessings through the grace and mercy of the Father in Jesus Christ. And so one man passes on blessings to the children. We're his, God's spiritual children, as well as, of course, through creation. Verse 21 says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so by grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what he's saying is that we need to be like Jesus Christ and God our Father, and then to reject the bad from Adam and Eve, our parents, and to do the right, to reject the wrong. And this is the basic premise of the sermon in a nutshell. We've all got to recognize the sins of our parents and where it has an effect on us, and to recognize the blessings of our parents and how those have a positive effect on us when we follow that, when it's related to a Christ-like manner. We've got to see where, our actions stray from our Heavenly Father and our elder brother Jesus Christ, and how we need to correct and to follow that positive example. And again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, I just referred to, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then verse 9, it says, 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, it's all about recognizing the right example, recognizing the wrong example, and following that which is right, repenting of that which is wrong. Okay, so mankind sins, passed on from generation to generation. Next are societal sins. And there are curses and blessings from societal sins of those around us. We're all affected by society around us. I mean, we see that more and more in the way society is going downhill. And oftentimes people make comparisons between when our forefathers began this country and how they, although they didn't have the full truth, they would put God, you know, and the Ten Commandments are written on our judicial system, and they said, you know, if we follow God, we'll be blessed. And now it's like you use the name of God, you can't do that. The story of Israel demonstrates this time after time, that society affected those around them. And when society went down the tubes, it had an effect on the people who were a part of that society. The sins of the, say, national fathers, if you will, or the founding fathers, depending on where you are at a given time, would have an effect. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. In verse 14, this is that blessing and cursings chapter. It says, however, if you don't listen to me or obey all these commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, by treating my regulations with contempt and refusing to obey my commandments. Okay, and it says, the sins of the fathers will be visited to the children and the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So when society begins to hate God, begins to reject God, begins to put their way first, and then people follow that. He says, verse 16, I will punish you. And, you know, we are involved, and certainly we had the blessings that God has given to us through Abraham and through even our founding fathers in this country, but now we're starting to reap the effects and the curses from what our fathers, if you will, leaders of the country do. And he says, I will bring sudden terrors on you, wasting diseases and burning fevers, and cause your eyes to fail, your life to ebb away. You'll plant crops in vain because your enemies will eat them. Verse 17, I'll turn against you, be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you'll run when no one is chasing you. When the nation's fathers, the community's fathers reject God, it has an effect on us, the children in society, if you will. Now, throughout Israel's history, the judges would either accept God's way or rebel against God's way. The kings came along, and the kings had a history of either accepting God's way and setting a good example or rejecting God's way. And whenever a righteous king or judge would come on the scene, God would bless them. When an unrighteous judge came on the scene or an unrighteous king came on the scene, Israel was punished. And so the sins of the fathers, if you will, societally, have an effect on the children. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. And again, here's the fact that the blessings can be passed on too. Leviticus 26, verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I'll send you seasonal rains. The land will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. So he said, if you're obeying my commandments, blessings will be passed down. Mercy will be passed down. Even when a good judge would come on the scene after a series of bad judges, God would have mercy. He would send reprieve to Israel and Judah. and he would see them through. But when they rejected, they got the curses. Verse 6, I'll give you peace in the land. You'll be able to sleep with no cause of fear. I'll rid the land of wild animals. Keep your enemies out of your land. I'll walk among you. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. And we'll talk more about sins of society in another one of these sermons, but let's look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40. And as he went through the blessings and cursings, if you do well, I'll bless you. If you're not doing well, you'll be cursed. And see how God expects us to evaluate that. He expects us to recognize the sin. He expects us to emulate and to follow the good. Leviticus 26, verse 40, the English Standard Version says, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquities of their fathers, in their treachery they committed against me and also walking contrary to me. It says you can be in a situation where your societal father sinned or your physical father sinned and curses have come as a result, but if you turn and you recognize the wrong and do something about it, he says, verse 41, so that I walked contrary to them, and they committed sin against me, and also walking contrary to me. I got my verses mixed up here. Verse 41, so they walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and they make amends for their iniquity. Okay, so if you begin to make amends for the sin, you begin to do something different than what your parents did if it was wrong. Then he said, verse 42, I will remember my covenant with Jacob. I will remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember their land. So what we have to do when we see there's wrong in those that have come before us, whether those around us or whatever, that we recognize it and move forward. So it's recognizing God's ways versus man's ways and repenting. Well, and then so we've got the mankind, sins of mankind passed down from Adam and Eve that we have inherited, and the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. We find societal sins of those around us that have an effect on us for good or for bad, and to evaluate those. And now we come to the generational sins that we started with. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. We'll read that again. It says, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or earth or sea. You must not bow down to worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. Put my way first. You start putting Satan's way first, or you start putting mankind's way first where it opposes God. He says he doesn't tolerate that. And then verse 5, continuing, it says, I lay the sins of the parents upon the children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. The curses of parental sins can be many. And some of you are living proof of that as a result of sins of the parents. You end up with some of the negative traits that maybe you had inherited or kept from your parents. It could be divorce, addictions, sexual sins, emotional disorders. It can be all kinds of things, depression, bitterness, negativity. And we'll get more specific about that in this afternoon. Visiting the sin upon the children and the grandchildren means that the children and grandchildren will repeat many of the sins. Now we'll see that it's not a punishment on the children for the sins of the parents, but it's when children don't properly evaluate what direction they need to go and what has been passed on to them and repeat those things and do the same things that the problem is continued. And it's a punishment from that perspective. These sins that are passed on that we don't reject and do something different with bring pain and bondage to our lives. It reduces our quality of life when we're repeating the sins of Adam and Eve, the sins of society around us, the sins where the parents have made mistakes, and greater or lesser. We'll get more specific here. And we will have that pain, that bondage, until the individual addresses the specific sins and turns to God in God's way and comes under the sacrifice of Christ. Now, it's uncomfortable, you know, when we have children, we think, oh, kids, our kids are evaluating us to see how we are, you know. Well, it's the way it is. As a parent, we can't just hope they don't notice, you know, that we're not, like, messing up in some way or the other. All have sinned, right? We all have sinned. We've all passed bad things on to our kids. But that's not what our focus is. We want to focus on the positive characteristics and the positive changes we can make, sometimes as a result of the mistakes of our parents, that we catch and go towards God's way. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 before we close out this first portion of the sermon. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. And as I say, this concept, this principle is repeated a number of times, and I think we need to pay attention to it in our daily lives and understand why. Deuteronomy 9, or 7, verse 9, it says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." And for those who are putting God first, and to the degree we're putting God first in our lives, blessings come to those around us. It goes on to say, verse 10, "He repays those who hate him to their face and destroy them, and he will not be slack with them who hates him. He will repay them to his face." If we sin, there is a penalty for sin. Sometimes we'd like to get around that penalty, but there's a penalty for sin. Ultimately, that penalty is death. And of course, Jesus Christ became our Savior and gave us mercy and grace, so we don't have to pay the ultimate penalty of death. But verse 11, and it says, "Therefore, because he gives mercy to those that love him and begin keeping the commandments or continue keeping the commandments, therefore you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which I command you today and observe them." And so when a parent keeps God's way, it says, verse 12, "Then it will come to pass, because you listen to these judgments, you keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and mercy which he swore to your fathers, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you." Well, we've talked about the generational curses that are passed on and blessings that are passed on. Mankind's sins and blessings, and societal sins and blessings. Let's continue talking about this concept. And since curses are passed down, and certain traits are passed down through mankind, through society, and through our parents, is that a good excuse for us to blame society, to blame mankind, Adam and Eve, to blame our parents for how we are? You probably saw the suit against R.J. Reynolds about a week ago or so. This lady won $12 billion from, I think it was $12 billion from R.J. Reynolds, because her husband smoked himself to death. And the reason she was awarded such a big award is because this guy possibly couldn't have been responsible for smoking himself to death on his own. I mean, people from R.J. Reynolds were probably there just pouring the tobacco down his throat. But there was no personal responsibility, not my fault. You remember several years ago, the Menendez brothers over in California, that they said, well, they killed their parents, but it wasn't their fault. It was their dad's fault because he was cruel and mean, and his dad, and their dad undoubtedly was excessively cruel and mean and deserved punishment for sure, but they couldn't help it. They had to do it because of parents. Because I can't get a good job because I was raised in a bad neighborhood. I can't get an education because of what excuse or the other, because my parents didn't give me the money. It's not my fault because I had a bad parent. It's not my fault because I didn't have any parents. I was raised as an orphan. Can we blame others for our own shortcomings? And should we? And is that what this is about? The sins of the parents being visited to the children of the third and fourth generation. We each need to know that God holds us accountable for our individual sins, no matter what our situation. Ezekiel chapter 18 discusses this concept in quite a few details. It gives some specific examples of what this is talking about. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. And Ezekiel 18 is just discussing this very principle we're discussing about sins of the parents visited to the children and what it means and what it doesn't mean. Ezekiel 18 verse 1 said, another message came to me from the Lord. It says, why do you quote this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. You know, it's as though, well, the kids' mouths can't help but pucker because the child, or the parents ate these sour grapes, and it's they're going to pay the penalty for what the parents do. No, he says, verse 3, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will not quote this proverb, and you will not quote this proverb in Israel anymore. Verse 4 says, all the people are mine to judge, both parents and children alike. And now he sees that what we do, for better or for worse, has an effect, a possible effect on our children, but how we allow that to affect us, for better or for worse, is up to us. He says, and this is my rule, the person who sins is the one who will die. And then he gives an example. Let's throw out a real-life case. Chapter 18, verse 5, he says, suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is just and right. And he's a merciful creditor, not keeping the items given as security by poor debtors. He doesn't rob the poor, but instead gives food to the hungry and provides clothes for the needy. 18 verse 8, he said he grants loans without interest, stays away from injustice, he's honest when judging, fair when judging others. Verse 9 says he faithfully obeys my decrees and regulations. And so here's a person that's just a good example, a good guy in the community, a good example to his children, and he's one that you say, good, follow those positive traits. Recognize them as being godly principles and godly morals, and do as Daddy did. And you receive the blessings of your father when you do as Daddy did, when Daddy's doing good. Or mother, we're not, it's parents. It says, anyone who does these things and is just will surely live, says the sovereign Lord. You'll have blessings. It's not just talking about life and death, but it's talking about good things God blessing you with. Now verse 18 is, okay, well, let's look at another example. And some of you have experienced this, whether you're this person or whether you're the parent of this person. Verse 10 of chapter 18, he says, suppose that man who was doing the right things, was good and just, a fine example of a parent, okay, has a son who grows up to be a robber or a murderer and refuses to do what is right. So here's the example of a good parent following God's ways, not putting idols first, subject to their children being blessed if they follow that way, but the kid says, yeah, I don't want any part of that. And that happens in the church oftentimes, is you'll raise your kids the right way and they won't follow that way. They just decide they're going to go their own direction. So are you responsible for them? And well, if you would have been a better parent, they would have turned out, well, not necessarily. This guy was a good parent, a good example. But the kid still turned out bad. It just happens. What God's point is here is in verse 11, he says, and that son does all the evil things his father would never do. He worships idols on the mountains, commits adultery. Verse 12, oppresses the poor and the helpless, steals from debtors by refusing to let them redeem their security, worships idols, commits detestable sins. Verse 13, lends money at excessive interest. Should such a sinful person live? Will that person be blessed? He says, no. He must die and take full blame. The New Century Version says he will be responsible for his own death. His guilt will be his own fault, the International Standard Version says. So you have to take responsibility for your own actions. You're raised in a godly home and you start doing your own thing. God will hold you responsible for that. He won't hold the parents responsible for that. Now, let's look at something else here. He gives another example. Verse 14, he says, but suppose that sinful son, in turn, has a son who sees his father's wickedness and decides against that way of life. That's basically what this sermon is about, is that you've got a person, you can either follow the good example and receive blessings, or you can see a bad example and reject that bad example and do good. You have that opportunity. You're not forced into a situation that you cannot change. Yes, oftentimes there are results of the sin. There are residual effects of that sin, things that you have to deal with emotionally and mentally. But you can overcome that with God's help. So this son, so you got grandpa. Grandpa was a good old guy. Good example. Dad, grandpa's kid, did the wrong things. Now here's the grandson, the son of the second one that did bad. So this son, verse 15, refuses to worship idols on the mountains, does not commit adultery. He helps the poor, does not lend money at interest, obeys all my regulations and decrees. Puts God first, sees a good example of grandpa, rejects the bad example of dad. Since this, if this was the case. Whichever it is, I think this lets us know what God's after. It says, such a person will not die because of his father's sins. He will surely live. But the father will die for his sins, being cruel, robbing people, doing what was clearly wrong among his people. So it seems to go against what it says about the sins of the fathers being visited to the children. If you're talking about the kids being punished for the sins of their parents. In fact, that's the next question that God answers in this section of Scripture. Verse 19, he says, what, you ask? Doesn't the child pay for the parents' sins? What about that Scripture that says the sins will be visited to the children of the third and fourth generations, those that hate me? No. For if the child does what is just and right and keeps my decrees, that child will surely live. That child will begin reaping the blessings of obedience to me and following the proper ways, in this case, of his grandfather. Verse 20, the person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and a parent won't be punished for the children's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked will be punished for their own wickedness. Verse 21, it says, but if wicked people turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and do what is just and right, they will surely live. He's saying you can turn around the curses. You can turn the situation around and you begin being the right example, even if you had a bad example, by putting God's principles and God's morals and God's law first in your life. Following the right examples of your parents, rejecting that, it's not so good. Verse 22, it says, all their past sins will be forgotten because of the righteous things they've done. At any time, we can change the direction of the curse. That's what happens to a lot of people when God opens their minds. He gives them an opportunity to see his way and to repent and change. And he may have just been a rotten person, raised in a rotten area in society. But when they repent and turn to God and receive his Spirit after baptism, then God gives them an opportunity to start afresh. He can turn around the situation. Or he can reject a good example and turn around and have a problem. Verse 23, you know, God not only allows us to change, he insists on it. Verse 23, do you think that I like to see wicked people die, says the sovereign Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. Verse 27, if people turn from their wicked ways and obey the law and do what is just and right, then they'll save their lives and turn around, okay? Verse 28, they will live because they thought it over and decided to turn from their sins. Such people will not die. In other words, they're not just living life, they're thinking things through. They're doing critical thinking, if you will. Critical not being a bad thing, but you're analyzing. Today's English version, verse 28, it says, he realizes what he is doing and stops sinning. So he will certainly not die, but go on living. New Century version in verse 28 says, but they thought about it and stopped doing all the sins they had done. And so it's about thinking about why we think like we do, about why we act like we do, why we react like we do. Are we following the good example of a parent or parents or foster parent or whoever it is that raised us? And we're thinking, I need to be like that. Or are we rejecting that which is not godly? Verse 30 says, therefore I will judge each of you, O people of Israel, according to your actions, says the Lord. Repent and turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Verse 31, put all your rebellion behind you. Find for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. And again, that can be done at any time a person chooses to do the right thing. We don't have to continue down a particular path. For why should you die, O people of Israel? I don't want you to die, says the sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. So we've got to realize that which is godly and do and internalize the right things that have been passed on by those who have been responsible for our lives. But on the other hand, aren't there consequences of sin that the parents have put upon us, and some of us have been affected by it? Well, yeah, it's true. There are consequences of sins of the parents, just like there are consequences of Adam and Eve sinning. There are consequences as a result of this nation sinning and our fathers turning against God. I'll just quote it because it's brief and it'll take you a while to turn there. But Lamentations 5, verse 7. Somebody's trying to prove me wrong. You there already? Lamentations 5, verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. The International Standard Version in Lamentations 5, verse 7 says, our ancestors sinned and no longer exist, yet we continue to bear the consequences of their sin. Now, the people talking here, as a result of national sins, their fathers sinned and they were suffering the consequence. Sometimes your parents have sinned, and some of you come from backgrounds where parents have just gone against God's way. And that sin brings penalties. Sometimes we suffer as a result of sins of others. Okay, now we're not being punished because of their sins, but we're suffering the consequences of those sins. For example, if your parent was an adulterer or adulteress and you ended up in divorce, divorce has an effect on the children, and not a good one. Whatever the situation, there's no such thing as a good divorce. And you probably ended up coming from an unhappy or a split home. I've talked to so many people who said, well, I didn't really know my dad because dad left when I was just a kid. And he started running around with some other woman or whatever and left. Talking to a guy last week, said his dad left when he was just a kid, and his mom had to raise several kids, and basically his sister raised him. He remembers a lot of good things his sister taught him to do or not to do, but it causes problems and brings emotional baggage with it. If there's a parent that left or treated the person poorly, there's a not feeling loved. Oftentimes they feel responsible. If I would have been a better parent, or if I would have been a better child, my parents wouldn't have divorced. And it brings a lot of things on people. To have an alcoholic parent or a druggy parent has an effect on the kids. You may have, and you talk to children of parents who were alcoholic, and some of them just had to hide when dad came home because they didn't know what he was going to do, and he would beat mom or beat the kids, and some awful things. And that causes and does have an effect on a child, and you have uncertainty and instability and sometimes mental health issues as a result of these things. And it does have an effect. There's a consequence for sin, and sometimes we suffer the consequences. Abuse. Children have been through sexual abuse or emotional abuse, physical abuse, this inability to trust. Who do you trust? How do you trust anybody when the person that should have loved you the most was abusive to you? An unwarranted guilt. I was responsible for it. Well, no, you weren't. You were just a kid. There are a lot of things that are carried down, the sins visited in that way. There's fear. There's anger. Sometimes becoming a perfectionist because parent was just demanding and everything had to be just right, or you're afraid if something wasn't perfect that dad would blow up or mom would blow up or whatever. A lot of things that come from that. So we have to realize that some people are dealing with those things. If you came from one of those parents, quite honestly, my wife and I came from good families with parents that didn't give that type of abuse, and we're thankful for it, but no, everybody hasn't had that opportunity, that blessing. Let's continue by examining some of the traits that we may end up repeating. Now, obviously, if you're talking about alcoholism and adultery and some of those big sins, drugs and abuse and that type of thing, obviously going to totally change that and not pass that on, although some people who have been abused end up becoming an abuser. Some who have come from alcoholic families end up being alcoholic. Those are big things. And I apologize for bringing up things that are probably very, very emotionally difficult for a lot of people right now because of having been in such circumstances. But let's not just look at this in terms of the big sins, but just life in general and how we can end up not following God's way and imitating some things that are probably not the best example. Thinking about it and examining it. Lee Polston wrote a book entitled In His Image, The Christian Husband. Actually, you want to hand these out? Clarence, you want to hand them out on that side? And I made a copy of some of these. It's a little out of order because I put the positive traits on top. Again, this was from, I think it's on there, Lee Polston's book, In His Image. This was adapted from that. He gave a list of petty sins, things that are not really huge things, but they're things that, why do we do what we do? And is what we're doing right? if what we're doing is right, keep on doing the good things, right? If it's not right, change it. Remember from 1 John 1, verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So all of us have something in life that we're doing wrong, right? May not be that big, but still something. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a matter of thinking about it, examining and seeing, where did this come from? Now, consider your grandparents. Consider your parents. Consider yourself. Okay, and just think about it, not to try to be critical, but just to do a self-examination of where you are with life right now. His list, and I expanded on that a bit, was the misuse of television. Now, for those of you that aren't TV addicts, that may seem like a dumb thing, but yet if you are a TV addict and you got to watch soap operas all day and never take your eye off the TV, you know, bonbons and soap operas, I've done visits. I'll use an example of one guy that was dying of cancer in a hospital that I went to visit, and he had his TV on in the hospital, and the TV was, he was here, I was here, and the TV was there. And, you know, as I was talking to him and finding out how things are going, you know, he's kind of looking around me so he could keep his eye on his TV show, you know, and I felt, boy, you know, maybe I want to go away bothering you with your show. The next time I came, I thought, okay, so I'm going to stand on the opposite side. So he's here and the TV's over here and I was standing over here. And he had a crane in his head, you know, to watch the TV. I just it bothers me. So if I come over and you're watching TV, that's fine. I can leave if need be. But misuse of money, focus on social status. You know, if you're one of those that had to keep up with the Joneses and it was all about appearances, well, keeping up appearances, isn't that PBS deal, loved that show, but she was always having to keep up appearances and, you know, have that social status. Too focused on me. Now, we do need to take care of ourselves. That's a godly principle. But when it's all about me, then that becomes a problem. Never admitting your mistakes. You know, some of you came from parents who never admitted they made a mistake, and we all make mistakes. Nothing wrong with a parent saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or I apologize for that. That's a good thing. It doesn't mean you're having to let them rule the house or any, but to admit you make a mistake, and then that kid can realize it's okay to admit mistakes, maybe pass that on. Of course, drugs and tobacco, too critical, you know, always running things down, and some, you know, there are some people who just everything is negative. Not a good trait. Lenient towards sin, doesn't really matter. Being proud or arrogant. A false humility. Oh, we're just humble folk, you know, proud of it. Being unthankful, you know, teach our children to be thankful for what God has given us. Having a temper. Some of you end up having a temper, and if you really stop to think about it, so did Dad, or so did Mom. You're kind of imitating that because that's the way you were raised. And what this is about is saying, okay, is having a temper and just blowing off at somebody, is that a godly principle and godly trait? And if I'm doing it, is there a reason for that? Maybe something that happened to us and we're just reacting, but still, if it's wrong, it's wrong. Internet addiction, or we can add, although maybe it not be our grandparents' problem now. It is a grandparents', because some of us grandparents are getting smartphones, but the smartphone, it takes over. When you get a smartphone, you begin to find out why, because it's not just, you know, your emails, it's your texts now. By the way, I'm into texting. I told you I didn't text. My smartphone is exactly a month old today, I think. And previous to getting a smartphone, I had, I think I gave like 3 or 4 texts. I have doubled that in a month. I've done, I think, about 8 texts now. So I'm an addict. I was reading on my smartphone instructions on texting. It says, if you have a thread, that's where you're texting to one particular person, and that thread reaches 500, check this box if you want that thread to be removed. And so I got to be careful, you know, that I don't reach my 500 limit with one person. Did I text you, Julie? I didn't? Okay, I'll be there. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, but you got to be careful. Dirty humor, being neglectful. You know, some of your parents neglected you. You know, and so, and if we take that trait on and neglected our children or grandchildren or whatever, that's not right. Self-righteousness, concerned with man's opinion. Irregular church attendance. Well, make it fine if we don't fine. Inappropriate music. Being mean. You know, some of you had, grandma was just mean. And others of you, grandma was just the nicest person. I always loved going over to grandma's, and it was just so fun. You know, what example do we set? Being angry. If you're angry all the time, there's probably a reason. Gossip, prejudice. You know, it's not, when we have prejudice against people, it was probably ingrained in us for some reason. We were raised in a society. It's funny thinking back on my age when we think back to the 60s of all the things that went on back in Alabama and so forth. And being raised in California, I never really understood what all that was about. And then we visited Atlanta and went through the Martin Luther King Memorial. And seeing it was awful for people. And they were taught, you know, to think other people were less than they were, or to want them to stay separate or stay away. And people were taught that way. And it's hard to imagine that's passed on. And sometimes it still is. And we have to be careful. And if we do have prejudice, where did it come from? And why? To be unforgiving. To show favoritism. These are, of course, some of these things, like being unforgiving and so forth, they can be pretty major things. But I would suggest you maybe just want to take time and think about these things. Pray about them. Consider before God how you're reacting and why are you reacting the way you are. Some of these things we just developed on our own. It's like the son who had a good father and just did the opposite things. And sometimes we're just responsible for our own sins, and it's nothing that was passed on. Other times, it's traits that were passed on, maybe from our parents or grandparents. 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 15, New International Version says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king in Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. Verse 52, he said he did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the way of his father and mother. Okay, so he was doing evil because his parents did evil and he followed the evil example. And this is one way that we can do. And when large things are bad, we can follow a bad example. Now, his mother was Ahab and Jezebel. And so he had something to contend with. You know, Jezebel is still used as a pejorative term for a woman who is rejecting God, right? It says, it's interesting too, it said he did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father and his mother and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he was following not only his mom and dad in the bad way, but he was following societal parents, the king. And so he followed all the evil ways. In verse 53, he served and worshiped Balaam, provoked the God of Israel to anger, just as his father had done. And so what we're talking about here today is looking at our lives and looking at what we do, and are we doing just as our parents have done, in the right way or in the wrong way? Follow the good, reject the bad. Now, on the other hand, there are many positive traits that are passed on, and many of you are blessed with those positive traits that you can look at and say, that's the way Dad was. That's the way I am. That's the way my kid is. Now, this is that other list. It's one on top, 1 Kings 3, verse 14. And God, in talking to Solomon, says, so if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I'll lengthen your days. Honor your father and your mother, you'll have length of days. Now, this is assuming we're honoring our father and our mother in the way that they honored God, not following them in a way that they're not honoring God. And some of these things you can look at and examine yourself, and, you know, maybe you came from parents who taught you God's way, or your parents who teach God's way to your children, and that's first in your life. And whatever godly principles there are, you're teaching your kids that. Maybe your example isn't as good as it could be, but at least you're teaching the good things, and we're all struggling with sin. We're teaching God's way. There again is the way my wife and myself were both raised, that our parents were putting God first in their lives and everything they did. Not that they were perfect, but that's the direction they went. They're honest. You know, my wife's dad was a farmer, and before he was called even, it's the way that his parents were and their parents were, and he literally could go to the banker and shake hands and get the loan that they needed. They went through formal process, but a handshake was your word, you know, and you're going to be that way in everything you do. You're going to be honest. Your word is good, and a lot of you carried that on. A work ethic. Of course, coming from farmer backgrounds, you generally end up having a good work ethic. My grandfather on my dad's side was a farmer, and of course it was up before dawn and in after dark and just work, and it probably became, well, not probably, but it was more of a workaholic. And so having a good work ethic and being a workaholic, you got to evaluate it and see, okay, keep the work ethic part, but eliminate the part of being a workaholic where your family suffers for that and so forth. Does loving describe your grandparent, your parent, yourself? Forgiving. You know, not always bringing up, oh, I remember when you did that. I'll never forgive you because of what you did. People that say that, it's awful. It's wrong. We've got to be forgiving. Dedicated to church, dedicated to your family, dedicated primarily to God. Very good traits. Financially responsible. You know, never, you know, went out and gambled the money away and you know, got yourselves in a mess. Tough. It's interesting. You talk to a lot of people who are raised under very less than desirable circumstances, but Mama was tough. You know, when Dad left and left with the kids and five kids to raise, Mama was tough. You know, she worked two jobs. She worked through it, and she gave us a good example to follow in that way. But on the other hand, tender. It's not tough and mean, but tender. A lot of things that can be passed on to you. Considerate of, you know, if you saw your father being considerate to your mother, if you're considerate to your children and so forth, putting God first, to be kind, compassionate, reliable, you know, balanced, not going to one extreme or the other. And there are so many ways we can go to one extreme or the other. How are we, and are we picking up what we were raised with one way or the other? Looking out for others. Other people are important to you. Education important. Sense of humor. That's a must if you're going to make it through life, I think. But, sense of humor that is properly based, to be a good provider, temperate, trustworthy. I mean, look at those things and see, does that describe your situation? If it doesn't, it can become that because of what God allows us to do. Now, Polston had, as I say, an interesting evaluation process. He had certain questions. I modified these. His was mainly focused on the bad habits, but there are the good habits we need to pick up on. But just maybe take the time. Kay and I had some discussions last week about some of these things and our grandparents and some of the things that were passed on and not, and our parents, and it was a kind of a fun discussion. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you know your grandparents? With my grandma on my dad's side, she died when I was a year old, so I got a 0 there. And I've got other grandparents that I knew quite well and remember snuggling in bed with them, and, you know, and I can say I knew them pretty well. 2, to what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits, habits, or sins that your grandparents had? I have to look at my grandparent on my dad's side, who was the farmer in Michigan, and he had a reputation for being the neatest farm on the block. You know, the fences painted white and everything just spick and span. And a lot of it was because he had the kids out there before sun up and after sundown and making sure things were kept neat and clean. And you know, my dad ended up really kind of a neat freak. And if you visit my home, some of you have been over there, but you go into the garage and you literally almost could eat off the garage floor in that garage. You go to the one out back and that's different. But that was, I think, something passed down from generation to generation. Now, I could have gone differently, but that's, I think, was a positive thing. And you just examine yourself and even things like that. You know, what are some good traits? Number three. To what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits, habits, or sins that your mom had? You know, my daughters will every once in a while call and say, "Dad, I'm getting to be just like mom." and that can be good or bad, right? There are a lot of good traits passed down. You know, the kids said, "I never thought I'd be like that, but boy, I'm really glad, Mom, that you were that way, you know, and now I find I'm that way, and now I'm trying to teach my kids the same thing," you know, when you look at the positive. And then there are other things, too. To what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits, habits, or sins that your dad has or had? You know, you look, and you know, Dad was a good provider, good hard worker, honest. Dad was pretty abusive. Dad was not very nice, you know, whatever it is. 5, to what degree have you realized or admitted the sin lineage from your grandparents to you? If you knew your grandparents, do you see, okay, well, there are some things there that I think I should not do. I think God would have me do differently. Or there are things that are good that he would have me to do. 6, to what degree have you realized or admitted the sin lineage from your parents to you? Chip off the old block. I'm doing just like Dad did, you know. And in some things, again, that's good. Other things, we should repent of it and not follow. It's okay. It's up to God to judge our parents. It's not up to us to make those judgments, but we should judge whether something is good or bad. That's the whole point. 7, to what degree have you corrected the sin habits passed down from your grandparents to parents, or grandparents and parents? You know, like my mom was never a hugger, and for whatever reasons and whatever her background, whatever, that she was not a hugger. You know, you'd hug my mom and she'd stiffen up. And it was her response for whatever reason again. And I've worked to to not be that way, you know, with the kids. And I'm not saying this to put my mom down. It's just the way she was. But I thought, that's not the way that I want to be with my kids, you know, and with others. I want to try to change that. And you can, okay. It's a little thing, but it's still, to what degree have you corrected some of those things? To what degree do you see good or bad traits, sin habits in your husband or wife that were passed down from his or her parents or grandparents? You're just like your mother. Wonderful cook. You know, you're just like your mother. You know, she cared for and loved people. You're just like your mother. Perfectionist. You're just like your mother. You know, you are messy, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, what have you seen in that? To what degree is your husband or wife passing on these good or bad traits or sin habits to your children? Do we see things in our kids that, oh, that was me? As with Blake, I mean, one thing, and it's a trait. I don't know that it's evaluated as good or bad. I guess it's good, but Brandy was always just really good at memorizing. She could, the day before the test, she could memorize what needed to be done for the test. Of course, she'd forget it after that, but you know, she could ace the test. You know, Blake's got a really good memory. He listens to a song once and repeats it a couple of times. But, you know, what are some of those things? Good, bad, indifferent. 10, to what degree are you passing these good or bad traits down to your children? 11, of the sin exhibited in your children, how much do you attribute to your lineage? Okay, well, they're a lot like my side of the family. Okay. And then, what about the other side of the family? What do you attribute to your wife's lineage, or more like her side of the family? I've decided that all the bad traits in our kids are Kay's fault. And reason for that is that she married me, and if she would have married somebody better, the kids wouldn't have turned out the way they did. But anyway. Did you inherit some baggage from your parents? Probably some. What about Uncle Harold or your grandpa? Now, if you have, what can you do about it? Is there anything we can do about it? If something's broken, to fix the broken. Now, if there's good things, we can follow those. This week, next couple of weeks, consider and reflect. Pray about some of these things, have discussions, and we'll continue next time with part 3 of the blessings and the sins of the fathers.